The following presentation was recorded live by Voices from Jerusalem.
We're up to number 3 of the 48 ways. Barichat Tfosayim. Barichat means to arrange it. Tfosayim is on the lips. Now, what does that mean, to arrange it on your lips? So, a simple appreciation is articulate. If you're going to live, you've got to articulate what you're thinking, you've got to articulate what you learned. You have to articulate what you know about living. For living, you've got to appreciate that words are effective. Words are bullets. You say something, you think it. You think it, you are. Now, to call your attention to the fact, you ever see somebody walking down the street and talking to themselves? Do you remember ever doing this yourself? You do. When? Why? If people talk to themselves, it means that there's something underneath. We know there's a power. It can be misused. Every power can be misused. Yeah. And people who are nuts do a lot of talking to themselves. Yeah. People who are okay, there are occasions you talk to yourself. So when do you use it? How does it accomplish its purposes? And how do you misuse it? So number one is that the idea is that whatever you learn, say it out loud. Now, this is a strange concept for Western men. You've been taught in school that you don't move your lips, yeah? In a library, you walk into a library, it's shh. If you drop your books, everybody jumps at you, yeah? You feel like you're committing an atrocity, yeah? While contrasted in a yeshiva, in a Jewish consciousness study hall, you know what you get? You get a sea of sound, a sea of noise. So B of this is, realize that this is something you're used to. You know, the city boy goes to the hick town, he can't sleep, it's too quiet. The quiet is mind-racking. The hick, the country boy, comes to the city, he can't sleep because there's too much noise, right? It's what you're used to. In a yeshiva-based mendish, people are thinking just as well as in a library, perhaps better. Yeah, but it's something that you're used to. Realize that this isn't what you're used to. Number two is that how can you use it today? When you have problem concentrating, even if you're reading a newspaper, start reading slowly out loud. You'll find that it brings you right into contact with what you're studying. When you find difficult studying in a hot summer night or spring and you don't feel like studying, you can't get into it, well, just start reading out loud and you'll find little by little. It won't take long, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you'll be into your studies. You can intuit that it would help you. Number three is, like you know in school, the teacher, you had a question, and then the teacher said, okay, well, you thought you had the answer, and you raised your hand. You remember as a kid, and you started explaining, and it didn't go nowhere, and you said, oh, I see, I made a mistake. In a question or an answer, when you try to articulate, you rearrange your thoughts, and you get the reality. Explain it to yourself or explain it to someone else. But listen to yourself and you'll hear whether it's real, whether it's true or not, and say, you know, I made a mistake, or now I got the handle on it. By explaining it out, we get a clarity. So see if this is, don't rely on your mind's decision that, yes, I understand insanity is contagious. Yeah? Explain it to yourself. Explain it to someone else. Articulate it, and then you get the hang of it. If it's an important concept, or hazy, or difficult, explain it, articulate it, and you'll get a clarity and a concise view of what you're talking about. Number four is, perhaps the most important aspect, and you can use it today, you make a resolution. I'm going to do something. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning. I'm going to try to understand what I want out of life. Whatever resolution.
You say it out loud, clear cut, forceful, meaningful, and you have a much better chance that it's going to get done. Okay, so number five is that use it for wisdom. Anything you accept as sensible is a bit of a resolution. You say that you should know what you're living for. You should focus on what you have and appreciate, take pleasure in the pleasures you have. Makes sense. So in the back of your mind, realize you're making a resolution. Someday I'm going to use this. Yeah? I'm going to remember this. There's a resolution. There's a decision involved. Don't let it lie there in the back of your head. Bring it up front by stating it. I will do it. When? When are you going to do it? The next time I have trouble concentrating, which will be this afternoon, I will do this. Whenever you hear a piece of wisdom that you accept as being valid, turn it into a resolution because it's there. And if you don't take it out, then you're betraying yourself time and time and time again. Put it up front by saying it out loud. I'm going to do this. Well, I'm not going to do it. Yeah. So number six is when struggling with wisdom or a question or a problem, using your voice to force you to grapple with the vagueness and the strangeness. An illustration of this is, I don't know how to make decisions, and it's something that's bothering me. And it could be that it's because I don't have confidence, or it could be that I don't really know what I want. You weigh it out. You weigh out the possibilities. So B of this is realize, and in Judaism we say, do it out loud with yourself. Weigh out the possibilities. Much easier. You get all the flexibilities. Deal with a problem. You're not happy. I don't appreciate what I have. What's the matter? Well, it could be that I'm lazy. But it's not laziness. I'm willing to do work. You're not used to this, you see, but if you get used to talking it out, to discussing the strangeness of our mechanism, yeah, and what is the problem, and articulate the positions, then you have this power of getting down to the brass tacks, of knowing yourself. This was Jewish consciousness. In Jewish consciousness, that's what you'll find in the yeshiva. You find a guy at the back of the Beis Medrash discussing a problem in a Tosfot or in the Talmud. You can't say it's this because then it must be that, but you have a contradiction from the other, so it must be. He'd much rather talk to someone else, yeah, but not everybody's interested in the particular problem he's working in. So he'll work it out himself. He's not nuts. He's using a Jewish technique. Put it on your lips. Number seven is that until you've learned how to do this on your lips, then it's a terrific step to keep a diary. At least articulate and concretize in words what did you learn today, what does it mean, what are you going to do about it, what you're not going to do about it, why you're not going to do anything about it. Deal with these ideas. If somebody else could sit with you and ask you questions and you talk, it would be fantastic. So don't wait until you get a psychiatrist and pay him $200 an hour, you know. And then you talk like mad. You say, did it get my hour's worth? Right? If that's what you'll be doing, you'll be discovering yourself by talking. It just takes a little practice. Take a piece of paper, because the paper calls for you to put something on. The issues, back and forth. The reward is know yourself. If you know yourself, you have the world. If you know what you want, you can go and get it. If you know what's holding you back, you can eliminate the obstacles. If you know what your pleasure is, you can enjoy it. If you know why you're doing something, you know whether you're right or wrong. If you know yourself, you have powers that are fantabulous. Everybody knows we have powers. If you don't know yourself, you're confused. You can't get a hold of your powers. We all want to be happy. We all want to be great. We all want to use our potential. We don't want to waste any part of it. We all want to accomplish, we all want to be kind, we all want pleasure, we all want meaning, we all want to be in reality, we all want to be efficient, we all want to be tough, we all want everything good for ourselves and for our children and for anyone we love. So the beginning is write it down. Number eight is especially for decisions. In order to appreciate this, I want you to focus on the fact that people say, I'll think about it. You ask them, what are you going to do about this? They'll say, I'll think about it. You ask them, how about this problem? Well, how are you going to solve it? I'll think about it. What usually they mean, and you've meant, and I've meant, we all, usually what we mean is, I'll agonize over it, and then I'll flip a coin. Did you see that? They say, I'll think about it, but really, I want to think about it. No, I'll agonize. Shall I? I'll stay in yeshiva. I won't. I'm going to take the job. I won't take the job. Yeah, it's a nice place to work. Yeah, but I don't feel like working. I'm, what the heck? Flip a coin, and we'll make the decision. See? So, B of this is, if you realize that that's the problem, don't agonize about it, but think about it. How do you think about it? You
take all the reasons for yes and put them down. You take all the reasons for no and put it down. You weigh out the priority, the values, put a value system on the yes and the value system on the no. And then it becomes obvious. Yeah. In the old days, Jewish consciousness was that you did this in your mind. You articulated by saying out loud, you listed. This is why I should stay in the yeshiva. I would get wisdom. I will find out whether there is a God. I will learn about free will. I'll learn what I'm living for. I'll perhaps pick up some friends. Value it up and then say, why not? Why should I leave the yeshiva today? I should leave the yeshiva today because I'd be very, very comfortable outside. Yeah. How about, what else are the reasons? I mean, you know, come up and you do it all in your mind, you count it up, you make your decision. That's the way Jewish consciousness, this is the way people used to work. It's better saying it out loud and keeping the reckoning in the head. But today we'll get confused by it. I don't suggest that you do it. We don't have that discipline. So articulate on a piece of paper. Whenever you have decisions, and you'll find it so much more healthy and so much easier to do it, on a piece of paper, put down the reasons for doing something, the reasons against doing something, give each one a value, 1 to 3, count up your points, you got your decision. It's as easy as that. Just do the work of writing it out. Number 9 is that use articulation in another form, and that's called sloganeering. Now, what does this sloganeering mean? That, you know, we get this feeling, I've got to finish. That's one of the times that we talk to ourselves, I've got to get this finished, to keep us plunging ahead. I got to finish this before the deadline. I got to get there, I got to study, I got to know this. Yeah, and we mutter it to ourselves to keep us moving, right? B of this is that anything that you know you've got to remember, that you've got to focus in on, do it until the bitter end. I've got to know what I'm living for. I've got to find out what I'm living for. I have to make that decision. What do I really want? Otherwise, I am going to sleep. And you keep on going at it until you know what will happen. You'll sit down and you'll make that decision. What do you want out of life? If you keep on saying it to yourself, you keep on plugging to yourself, it moves you. It moves you into doing something. See if this is that the rabbis say, do it with something that moves you in general, like remember the Alamo. It gets you motivated, yeah? So, do it with I want greatness. It'll keep you moving. So do it until the end, as long as it keeps you more efficient, gives you more energy. You find something that gives you energy, use it. D of this is that the Jewish people, which is our slogan, we're famous for it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. The Almighty is one. That's to keep you driving. That's what you got to settle in. That's it. That's what we say is the point of it all. You've got to choose your own. I'm telling you, the Jewish people, you can use life is beautiful, clarity or death. Whatever makes sense to you, bring it in. Think. Number 10 is with practice and sensitivity, there's a much more sophisticated way of using articulation, and that is feedback. Saying to yourself whether you mean it or whether you understand it. It's a feedback system. So, for example, if I ask you, are you going to do an assignment? Say, I'm going to do the assignment today. Whatever the assignment is, say. Whatever the assignment is. Right? Okay, I don't believe you. Say it. Right. Neither do you. That's the sophisticated system. Say it in a way that you'll convince me and you'll have yourself convinced. It's a way of getting our mind resolution into our desire. Now when we say it, when I say something, I'm going to give you $1,000 and you believe me, I meant it. Otherwise you don't believe me. So by saying it and convincing ourselves that we mean it, then we mean it and it gets done. We're the boss, Mike. You're the boss. You want to, it's done. You have willpower there or anybody. Just remember when you become stubborn, huh? Nobody can move you nowhere. You made up your mind, they're not going to move you, that's it. So the question is, how do you make up your mind? Say it. Say it until you mean it. You made up your mind. Off you go. They're on the march.
B of this is,
there are times in your lives, you remember any such time, David, that you made up your mind, I'm going to do something, yeah? And then you disappointed yourself. You remember that? We don't like to look back at that. Yeah? I'm going to learn a language, we make up our minds. We made the mistake of not saying it and listening to hear whether we meant it. Yeah? We took it for granted. I mean it. I mean business. You know, bluster. Yeah. When somebody tells you, oh yeah, this time no more dope. This is the last time. you listen to him, you say you're full of baloney. Yeah. You understand? But if he says it and he convinces you, he convinces himself. And it's done. So when you really want to make a decision and you know it's very important for you, say it, get a friend who'll tell you whether he believes you or not, and he'll say, you know, I believe you. It's in. Don't make the mistake of taking it for granted. I make up my mind, I mean it. Ah, nonsense. We make up our mind, we don't even think we're going to even try, perhaps. Yeah. We're just bluffing ourselves. Yeah. But when you try to tell it to someone else, he'll tell you, baloney. Yeah. And you say, well, I didn't make up my mind. Well,
when it's important, make sure that you mean it, if you decide it's important. Number 11 is that a more sophisticated but a difficult thing to do is what we do in yeshivas, to argue something out with yourself. In other words, I would rather be happy than rich, yeah? And happiness is making the effort to appreciate what you have. Because if I was blind and I had eyes, I'd be happy for a whole month. And really, having eyes is much more important than being a millionaire. So, why don't I appreciate having eyes? This is the way yeshiva fellow would talk about it, right?
So perhaps the reason that I don't appreciate having eyes is because I just don't like to be happy. No, that's not it. I like to be happy. So then, you understand? Arguing it out, reasoning it out with yourself, taking both positions, knocking it out, giving it in, knocking it out. This is what you find in any yeshiva. And guy is sitting there in the back arguing it out.
Number 12 is, the same thing goes to puzzle out your problems. Let's say you can't make decisions. Argue it out. What's the problem with me? Why can't I make decisions? Why don't I have self-confidence? Is it the fact that I think I am no good at all? Nonsense. I know I'm just as good as anybody else. Then why do I have this low opinion of myself? Why do I hate myself? Is it because my parents told me I gotta hate myself and I'm listening to them? No. Yeah, it could be. Well, then, what should I do to get out of it? You find you have problems. Talk it out with yourself. Of course, I don't suggest that you do this out in public because that your friends will give you a wide berth, right? Lock the door and tell them that you're rehearsing for an act. Yeah. But then go and argue it out with yourself. Call yourself names and fight it out. Ah, that's stupid. Yeah, well, go ahead. You'll get a clarity. Number 13 is that a much more sophisticated and takes a lot of practice, but it's a Jewish concept, is that every human being has a mantra. Did you ever hear a mantra? A mantra is music, your particular music. And people who've learned Torah a long time know that once they get into learning, there's a particular rhythm, there's a particular tune that comes out of them. There's a joy of life. Every individual is his own. Yeah. You'll find a lot of fellows in the yeshiva are singing while they study. Music helps you concentrate if it's the music into what you're doing. It facilitates it. My father, Zuchayn of Wachri, I remember his tune, although I'm no good at memorizing tunes, right? But I remember he had a tune. It takes an awful lot of learning to find your tune. And it's in Torah. I've never seen, you know, you don't have these tunes when you study psychology or biology. When you're studying, it's like, yeah. Unless it's a musical, you know. The toe bone with the shin bone, with the, right? But there is a tune. And if you study long enough, you'll get in touch with your tune. And then it's a tremendous help to get yourself back into study anytime you want. You just start with your tune and zing, you're in there. All right, number 14 is that move yourself with articulation. Again, we do this subconsciously, when we have a heavy burden, we say slow, or when we
we're trying to get our effort. We say, come on. When we're afraid, say, don't be afraid. You understand? You sort of hedge yourself. You nudge yourself with words. When you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like getting out of bed, and say, it won't hurt you. You'll enjoy it. It just takes a couple of minutes. It makes it a lot easier. Then I will, and I won't. Then talk to yourself. Get one foot out. But when you feel like getting angry, perhaps, right? Say, hold it, slow down. Doesn't really matter. Take it easy. When your emotions are dung, talk yourself out of it. Slow yourself. Calm the raging beast. Calm the pain. Whatever it is that you have to say. Number 15 is, and it's a great idea to give yourself a pep talk. Like a sales manager. You know what a sales manager does? He calls his troops in, the salesman in, he focuses their attention. Look, you're going to go out there. Joe made $1,000 of sales yesterday. You guys can do a heck of a lot better. Everybody's buying today. Let's go. And they come out. Ah, get them! Yeah. Well, it's nice to hire your own sales manager and say, every morning, give me a pep talk, how much I'm going to accomplish today. If you have big enough money, you can hire a guy to give you a pep talk. But if you don't have enough money, give yourself a pep talk. Say, today's the day I'm going to make it. When you wake up in the morning, today I'm going to run out of bed, and I'm going to be full of joy and pep because I know that life is beautiful, and I'm going to study, I'm going to use everything that I study, and it's going to be part of me, and I'm going to assimilate to life, and I'm going to make friends, and I'm going to... And you get yourself all amped up, and you're ready to go. B is Jewish consciousness was that every time before you did anything, you would say, hidden in Muchanimism, and you talk to yourself, what are you going to do? Get yourself set up. I'm going to learn now because I want to understand truth, and I want to be in reality, and I'll live. You'd say, hinni muchanimism. That was a formula. I am ready and prepared to do such and such, to honor my parents because I owe them that much, and gratitude is life itself. And get yourself set up. The C of this is that whenever you do anything, like you're going to clean up your room, tell yourself how you're going to do it, why you're going to do it, and how you're going to enjoy doing it, and get out there and do it. You're going to meet your parents, you want to give them pleasure, you want to tell them how great, how much you appreciate them. Tell yourself, this is the way I'm going to do it, and I'm going to explain it to them in this and this way, and I'm going to give them a hug and a kiss, and they're going to feel good because I'm going to make the effort, etc., 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 etc. You'll find, zing, it makes it a lot easier. You talk yourself into it, you're going to do it. Number 16 is that there's a caution. You should be very careful for the counter productive words. Words are bullets that can kill you too. Never say, I'm no good, I'm stupid, I'm worthless, I'll never accomplish anything, I'm a failure, I can't change. Whenever you say that, you're cutting yourself down. Never say those words. Shh. Strangle them. Talk the other way. The same thing like with a friend. You can call a friend stupid, yeah? If it's good natured, if you know, with respect, yeah? That was a stupid thing to do. If you're saying that was a stupid thing to do and you're aiming at him, you better not do it. If you're with him, you know, we're together, but that's ridiculous and that's you're a fool idea, but I respect you and you respect me, then you can go. But if you say that's ridiculous and that's a fool idea and you mean that you're a fool and you're... Then you lost a friend. So when you're talking to yourself, respect yourself. You say, that's stupid. Okay, but we mean we're going to straighten out. Yeah? Okay, now why? Why do we need this? Why do we need this in order to live? So number one of this is that at least it keeps you from falling asleep, from dreaming. We say it'll help you concentrate on biology. Biology and history and a newspaper. Read it out loud. Get you in there. It keeps you from falling asleep and from dreaming. But goes more than that, and number two is that in the mind, ideas are fuzzy. We can't get the right perspective. When it's articulated, then we have a sort of an objectivity. We're subjective in the mind. I think it's a great idea. But when I try to explain it to someone, even when he doesn't say nothing, yeah, I see for myself that it's not such a good idea. Because It's taken out of an amorphous and it's given clarity so you can see good, bad.
Yeah.
Number three is that
today there is this audio-visual aids. They tell you that if you hear something, it's not as effective as if you hear it and see it, right? You understand? The more senses you have working, the deeper an impression. In Judaism, we say that the most senses working at one time, yeah, is saying it out loud, because you're using every one of your bones. You're using your body, your tone, your muscles. You're flexing your tone muscles when you are speaking, if you are articulating. You're not conscious of it, but you should do it consciously. So it's an all bones affair. When you say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God," you should be doing it from your toes. So it makes a deep impression. It's live with everything you got.
Number four is that, look, in Judaism we say that the soul and the body meet in articulation. The Torah says in Bereishis, Vayir Odom the Nefesh Chayo, and Odom was a live creature. In the Targum, the Aramaic translation says that Adam was a Nefesh Memalolo, was a talking soul. The soul is ideas, is truth, is meaning, etc. The body is lust, is grunt, is passion. The meeting place is when you talk. Because ideas are given form. So when you want to translate something from a concept into a concretization of the soul, the bridge is articulation. That's why when we make a resolution, I say, I want, the soul wants to, the body is holding back. But when you force the body to say, I want, in a way that is convincing, it means you got the idea into the body. Does it make sense? It's a little Kabbalistic, but that's the way it works. Number five is that, in general, words have that effect. Words are bullets. Words are realities. Say is to be. You can use it to wake yourself up, to be great. I want to be great. Or you can say it to tear yourself down and to lull yourself to sleep. I don't care if I am a mediocrity. I don't mind going to hell. Sounds ridiculous. It is ridiculous, but you say it. You sort of mean it. You see that? Words are bullets. Be careful how you use them. Use them for good health. All right, now as far as what an assignment. Take five pieces of wisdom of your own choosing. The battle for life is a battle for sanity. Happiness is an obligation. We've got to articulate. Words are bullets. Decisions should be made intelligently. Whatever five that you choose, make a resolution based on each one of them that you're going to do something about it one time. Yeah? Decide what you're going to do and say it until you mean it. See what happens. Convince someone. Get someone to say, you know, I believe you. Okay? That's one assignment. Second assignment is take a simple decision. You're going to clean your room or not. Something that is to you a question, right? Put down the pros and cons with values. With values. Put it down on a piece of paper and add it up and see the decision-making machine. If you do it now with a simple decision, then when you have a real tough problem, you'll reach for a piece of paper and you'll do it. You won't have to agonize. You will think things through.